spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, it's Matt and Mom Live. We are back at it again. We got real, raw, and relevant material coming at you. We thank you for tuning in today. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, we hope that you can share it and just get more people tuning into God's economy. We thank you and we appreciate you. We are going to continue the thread from last episode where we talked about faith. What is faith? How do you navigate faith? How do you get faith? And we used several different stories, personal, biblical. We brought up some characters. Joseph is one of my favorite just because, you know, some of the obscure verses that say that God was with Joseph and Joseph prospered because God was with him. And you have to stop and say, why was God with Joseph? Where he was in the pit and then in prison. Why was God with him? Well, because Joseph was with God.
Joseph always remained totally obedient.
Because God was with Joseph because Joseph, even through that hard trial, he remained faithful to God. What did that look like? I can't tell you, but I know what it looked like in my prison, the prison that I built because of my actions. However, the Bible says that when you come back to God, he is a loving father. He receives you. He holds nothing against you. So I had to keep that. That was took faith, keeping the mindset that God has seen me as forgiven and walk in that obedience to his word. And then seeing things from his perspective, not man's perspective, man's perspective that resets on him on a daily basis, sees things distorted and skewed. And we see things as like harder, and but from God's perspective, it kind of opens up a whole new dimension, and that's heaven. And we said you have to go to the Word to understand God's economy, to understand His will. It starts in His Word. Can He speak through people? Yes. Can He speak through devotionals? Yes. But the purest form of His voice is going to come through His written Word. And that's where you meet Jesus. That is what he wanted us to understand by leaving us the Word of God. That's faith.
That's pretty cool because so many times, though, people, you're saying you have to read the Word of God to truly hear the voice of God. They make time for everything else. You make time for your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, your working out, your everything that you enjoy, whatever hobby you have. But we don't make the time for that special nourishment and alone time with God. And I think that's crucial. We've talked about spiritual disciplines on other shows. But until you get that right, set time. I call it like make an appointment with God. Make an appointment with God. And that's where your disappointments will come less. Because see, that word appointment is in there. And the more you have appointments with God, the less things are going to throw you off because he is going to speak through your word, through the word. I think I even have it in the book. The morning of your court appearance, I read my typical devotions that I did every single day. You know, they would move day to day. And that particular morning was so personal. It was a Dr. Stanley book, and it was basically saying, no matter what you're facing today, God is with you. He has ordained it. He will walk through this with you. And guess what Bible verse it was? Proverbs 3:5, which happens to be your life verse. Mm-hmm. So when I read that the morning of court for your sentencing, not knowing what was going to happen that day, that fed my spirit. That fueled my faith. And I didn't go to court all shaky and wobbly and freaking out. I actually went to court feeling like I was surrounded by an army of angels and God's grace. That's what we know because we've walked it and lived it. And that's why we do these shows, and that's why we have the fervor that we have, for people to really hear this. It's not rocket science. God has made it so simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about storms recently in a couple shows ago, and that actually could have went into a topic of faith, because the thing Jesus was almost like disappointed in his boys was, why are you fearful? Like, why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. They're like, I'm with you. I'm on the ship. There's no way it's going down.
Right.
I told you we're going to the other side. I didn't say that things wouldn't come along the way. I didn't say that I would keep you from tribulation or storms, but I told you I'd be with you. That's being obedient, knowing that you're listening to his word and trusting his word when he says it. Being obedient to him is saying, all right, this doesn't look good, but I'm going to trust you because you are good. Mm-hmm. I think we use the analogy of like parents disciplining children and the child not understanding it because all he feels is the pain and all he sees is the mom or dad keeping him from what he wanted. But the parent, out of love, has disciplined the child. And the child eventually, as he grows and matures, will see that what mom and dad did was for his benefit. And then as things happen or unfold in that child's life and the parent comes down on the child, he's more likely to trust them, even though it doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. That trust grows.
So as a child grows, our faith must grow, or our spirituality must grow. You know, we do things as humans to grow us. We obviously cannot stop the chronological advancement of age, but we also do other things to make sure we remain healthy or in good shape. And faith needs the same type of exercises.
And attention.
And attention and discipline to be worked out.
Absolutely.
So you see somebody with great faith and they've been rocked time after time, yet they remain steadfast in their faith to God. Well, how did they get to that point? They didn't wake up and it snapped into place. No, most likely that person, they spent time working out their own salvation, making appointments with God, allowing him to minister to them, and they minister to him. So I just read this recently. If you're starting to read the Bible again, keep in mind it's not a newspaper. So you're not reading to have impartation of information, which means you're not just reading to memorize and have intellectual understanding. That's impartation of information. You're reading to have intimacy of communication. So it'd be foolish for me to interact with any other human being, yet only allowing it to be one-sided, like this radio show. If I'm doing all the talking, Mom, and I never give you an opportunity to speak back to me, then you technically don't know about the depth of this relationship, because I'm only telling you about me. Well, we do that with God when we read his word and when we pray. We have to kind of pause and allow him to speak to us. That's where your faith is really going to grow. And I'm guilty. I've rushed through my devotionals. I'll read certain sections. And as long as I got to chapter 10, I'm good, right? Meanwhile, there was times where God probably wanted me to pause at the period or at a word so he can speak to me about the issue, yet I don't give him time. So, you know, faith really is taking the things you already know as a human, and as we interact with other humans, parents or siblings or friends or coworkers or teammates, and applying those same principles of relationship and fellowship with God. And he requires our time and our attention, just as you would require a significant other's time and attention to grow in a relationship.
Right. I mean, just think of it. If you're married and you don't have a lot of conversation, don't have a lot of contact, your husband or your wife doesn't even know what it is that pleases you, what kind of a relationship is that? It's probably a dying one.
Sure.
Going to head towards divorce or something. So it's elementary, and yet everybody struggles with it. And it's, again, because it's about discipline. Now, I do have a little story quote kind of thing about General Stonewall Jackson. We're talking about just living out our faith and having such a trust and a reliance of who our God is that there's no need to be constantly reminded by somebody every single day about it, because you're spending time with him. And there's a story about General Stonewall Jackson, and history records that when he fought in a battle, he always stood high and brave on his horse and didn't try to hide his designation of being a general, which could have been really not good for him because they would see that it was a general. And of course, if you take a general out, you've done a good job if you're the enemy. And it would have made him an easy mark. But one of his captains questioned him about this. And he says, you know, why is it that you stand so tall and you allow the enemy to see who you are? And aren't you afraid that you're going to become a target? And here's how he responded. He said, Captain, my religious faith teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to always be ready, no matter what overtakes me. Captain, that is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally brave. Wow. I love that quote, and I think what he's talking about being equally brave, we all need. We need to be equally brave as we walk through this life. We need to have confidence when things come and rock our world, and they will rock our world. But we need to know who our God, have that confidence in God. I don't need to hide who I am.
Right. How can we have confidence in God? I mean, that is usually the question mark that's attached to God or lack of faith. How can I trust him? And he made his statement, his exclamation, when he sent Jesus. You can always look to the cross and be assured that God loves you and that you can trust him.
Right.
I mean, that is the final statement. God's final spoken word to mankind came in the form of Jesus. I mean, that's what Hebrews says. It was the last spoken word. And the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold his glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. And it is him that confirms the character of God. Before, because they couldn't see him, I could see how people would question. But God said, I'm going to actually remove all doubt by sending Jesus, and I'm going to be in him. I am Jesus. I mean, the beauty behind the Trinity. And I want to go down there to restore all things, but let them know that I love them because I created them. And if you're in that situation where you're doubting God has your back or there even is a God, I direct you to the cross. That final statement from God saying, I more than love you. I want you to be part of my family. That's faith. Believing there. Start there. Don't worry about all the other stuff, how things come together. God is faithful, and he gives you the faith to be faithful.
And there's not one thing that we could go through on this earth that we can't say Jesus went through.
Not one thing.
I really can't think of one thing. We've done this in a Bible study one time. We tried to think, you know, all these little ways. Well, you know, well, Christ was betrayed. And
he
suffered, and he was abandoned, and he was poor. And there are so many things.
Sure. Everything that he used in his ministry was borrowed. That was the funny thing. You can't even compare. What he knew and what he felt was probably beyond our comprehension because he knew. I mean, when he saw some distressing situation, he could have stopped it, fixed it, but he didn't. That was him surrendering to the human flesh.
Right, because he was all of God too, correct?
Correct. All God
and all man.
So if he's all God and he knows all things, imagine going through a distressful situation in that capacity,
right,
knowing you can simply step out and fix it.
Well, isn't there when he was tempted or that he could say, I could call all the angels in heaven to this situation?
Oh, yeah. He could have shut the whole crucifixion thing down.
Right. But he submitted to the will of the Father.
Imagine a creator's hands being nailed to a cross, and he allowed it.
It's unbelievable.
So what did it take for him to keep his hands nailed to the cross? Not what was it like to get your hands nailed to the cross. What did it take for him to keep his hands
Nobody thinks about
nailed
that.
To the cross?
Exactly.
What did it take? Because he had to do was just go, snap my fingers, this scene's over, thank you for mocking me, but now you're bowing to me.
Exactly.
And forced us into submission. Well, right now he's given everybody an opportunity to willfully submit because there will come a day, and it's coming very soon, where the sky will break and it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And mom, that scripture doesn't speak of the person willfully that does it now. You and I have submitted to the lordship and the kingship of Jesus. That speaks of one day the non-believer, the person that says, I don't believe in God, and they cursed him. They, unfortunately, will have to bend down and confess. And I don't want to see that day. And there's a lot of times we say, that person's going to be wrong one day. And you're almost like, God will show them one day. And you say, hold up. That's not a pretty day. That's, that should break your soul, knowing people are going to suffer eternally separated from God, which is who's all that is love, all that is good, all that is graceful. But that's what people willfully do when they turn their back on the one that represents pure love. So we have to have faith. Faith without works is dead, and faith that does works proves that you love God. I mean, there's pretty cool little analogies that go with faith that works is dead. If you say you believe in God, Christian, then you should certainly start doing things for God. Not because he wants you to do things for him. He doesn't need your good works. But your love for him should have you do for him. Just like a husband who loves his wife will do. Wife says, you didn't have to do that, honey. He says, I know. But because I love you, I did. Well, next time you don't have to. But what happens next time? He does it again. He doesn't have to do the works. And vice versa. So we do things because we appreciate Jesus, you know, ministering or teaching or counseling. Or I just heard on the radio today, whatever God appointed you to do, whatever your career path may be, you are his representative in that career. If you are a lawyer, you are the representation of God to the Bar Association. If you are a police officer, you are the representation of God in law, in order. So you have to have the character of God in those particular paths. Doesn't mean everybody that is God's child has to be a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a minister. You have to work in the church. No, you can be a garbage man and be a representation of a holy God. So where do we go from here? Little biblical story involving Jacob, who became the name Israel, who birthed the 12 sons of Israel, and they became the nations of Israel. I don't want to get into the background behind why he found himself in this particular location, but his name was Jacob, and he comes to a certain spot based on his journey and his past, and he lived up to his name. His name means supplanter or deceiver, and he deceived his brother. He got the best of his brother, Esau. He got Esau to sell him his birthright. He was a conniver. He was always getting over. Now he finds himself, and he's wrestling with God, the Bible says. The Bible actually says the angel of the Lord. So if you are a student of the Bible, you'll be pleased to know anytime it says angel of the Lord, it's actually speaking of Jesus. It's the Christophany, it's called. It's a representation or an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus was his earthly name. He got that name as he was birthed in flesh. So it wouldn't have been Jesus. The names of God are endless. I mean, you can't even understand the names of God. So the angel of the Lord was Jesus on earth wrestling with Jacob. And he struggled all night. So put yourself in that position. You're wrestling with God right now. You're struggling. And it almost says that Jacob kind of won, but that's not the case. The surrendered position, because he couldn't fight anymore, the angel of the Lord touched the strongest bone he has. It was his hip bone or the thigh bone, and he dislocated it. And the cool thing about the story is he makes him say his name. The angel of the Lord, certainly God would know who he was, but he says, what is your name? And he said, why is he asking him what his name is if he already knows? No, he wanted Jacob to admit what his name was. Say who you are. You're a sinner. You're Jacob. You're a deceiver. And that moment when he confessed who he was, that's when God said, I will give you a new name. And the new name that he gave him in that encounter was Israel. You may not know that the word Israel means governed by God. So he went from Jacob the deceiver, the governor of his own life, to Israel, one who submitted or surrendered, is now governed by God. And then it tells us as he got up, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. And it's interesting to know that perhaps you are moving too fast and you're wrestling with God and you're unwilling to surrender. And now he's dislocated your hip. Why would he do that? Why would he leave you in that state? It's not only to remember the struggle, because sometimes the pleasure or the purpose comes in the pain, but it's also to slow you down, because for the rest of your life, mom, you walk with a limp because you suffered the loss of a son. So from here until God takes you home, you struggle with this limp. But it's a good thing, because it reminds you that God was so intimate and so personal, and he was there through that encounter, through that wrestling. And I'm sure many nights you and Dad wrestled with God over, why have you forsaken me? Why did you allow this? And he would always remind you that now you have a limp. And you're going to walk. And you're going to actually, because I slowed you down, you're going to arrive at the destination at the exact time that I need you to. And I look at my own life. I mean, I was moving quick as a professional soccer player. Then I made a decision that cost an innocent man's life and an innocent family and you guys and heartache and pain, and I can go on for that. But now I walk with a limp. See, the incarceration slowed me down. God had a particular place that he was bringing me, so he needed to pause the script of Matt Mayer, put me into isolation to slow it down, because at a given time in my future, for such a time as this, he needed me to come into that area with a maturity about me. And it wouldn't have happened had I not gone through an isolation. And that is exactly what God did with Joseph. He brought him through. But here it is, Christian. You have to stop wrestling at a certain point in that struggle and let God be the victor. He's going to win eventually. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting your time. He wants to give you that name. You are governed by him. You can believe and trust that he's allowed it into your life because he loves you. Your faith begins by just being obedient. If he says go back to church, go back to fellowship, go back to that counselor that is giving you the biblical backbone of what you're going through, then do it. Start there. If you're still struggling with the idea of faith, I challenge you last episode. Pray about it. Pray. Ask God to give you the gift of faith. Maybe you'll see things differently after wrestling in prayer about an issue. Always go back to his word. It is the confirmation that he's allowed things to go the way they went in history for a reason. So if you're listening today and you're saying, well, the world seems like it's going crazy today, Matt, what happened? Where's God in that? I hate to tell you this, but God knew this day would come. He saw it before the foundation of the world. He's allowed it because his grand scheme and his plan is already written. It's already done. Revelation, as Revelation is written, it is already fulfilled. So we can see and say, wow, what just happened in America and all this stuff that's going on that people are spending so much time debating and arguing about. But the true Christian, the obedient Christian, the faithful Christian says, you know what? God is still in control. He didn't call me to judge. He called me to love. And in that, I can just rest assured that as long as I'm the light to the dark, I'm doing my faithful calling. So if my mom is still in the room during this radio show, everybody, she's silent.
I love listening to him. I'm sorry. It's just God has put such a word in him. And even though those of you that know me or used to listen to that guy's mom where I did most of the talking, and now it's Matt and Mom, I just truly get blessed by this. And that word that we give out there, it's ministering to my heart just as I'm sitting here. So I hope it's hitting all of you today and that it will encourage you to reexamine yourself and your faith and see where you stand.
Absolutely. Your strategies of faith, here are some of them. Hopefully we can leave you off with a couple points. You got to understand God's character. Understand his character is in his word. Then you have to pray through the challenge that you are experiencing. Please reaffirm in yourself that the battle is already won. It is the Lord's. He is victorious. Declare the victory then and walk in it like David and Goliath, this young man that took down a giant, but he believed it before he even entered the battlefield. Then wait on God's timing. It's always perfect. Delays are determined by God for his glory. And then proceed in his way. Finally, if you ever have any questions or any topics that you would want Matt and Mom to discuss, please jot them down on our Facebook walls. We'd love to hear from you. Share this podcast with a friend. We end all shows reminding you that you are the only Bible somebody may ever read. And Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We thank you, and we look forward to meeting you again.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones, they hate. Waiting patiently for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith, pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
I've been there.
I've been there.
Yes, I've
coming from. From. I've been there. So I know where you're going. Listen, listen, listen. You guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah.
Don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ.